Good evening and welcome to Tiger Talk, where we are live every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock to talk about Mobridge Pollock High School sports and activities. And tonight, joined by a very special guest, head coach Thomas Knudsen of the Mobridge Pollock boys basketball team, at 2-0 start to the season for the Tigers on the hardwood. And we will get into all of that here with him in moments, breaking down, including the game last night, that win over Aberdeen Roncalli, talking about the schedule to come and some of the individual performances that Mobridge Pollock has enjoyed this year. Team looks really sharp and excited to hear what he has to say about all of that. Before we get there, I want to let you know what's been happening since we last met up in Mobridge Pollock sports. For the girls basketball team, now 4-0 to begin their season. They defeated Cheyenne Eagle Butte 82-34 this past Thursday at home. Great environment, great crowd in a local showdown. Lady Tigers ended up just 5 points shy of the single game scoring school record of 87. And this past Saturday, 69-57, a win over Sisseton. Blake Thompson with 23. Tegan Conold's huge performance. She added another 22 points. And then last night, 5-point win over Aberdeen Roncalli, defeating the Lady Cavaliers 50-45. A 16-5 first quarter really was the difference, and really the two teams played kind of to a deadlock the rest of the way, but that first quarter was enough to get the win and improve to 4-0 this season. Just quickly for the boys team, 60-31 over Sisseton Saturday, 56-43 over Roncalli last night, and we will talk about all that with Coach Knudsen here coming up. And the boys wrestling team competed in the Faulkton Invitational on Saturday. The girls wrestling team won't be in action, I believe, next until late January. But for the boys on Saturday, Luke Olson finished third and 132. Braden Wench is fourth and 144. And Wyatt Ziegler fourth in 285. Towards the back end of the program tonight, we will share what is coming up in the upcoming week. And a programming note here as well. Next Wednesday night is Christmas Day. We will not have a program there, nor will we the following week. We'll take a little bit of a winter break along with the school and the programs as well, as the following Wednesday is New Year's Day. But we will return January 8th. We still have to talk wrestling with Coach Nas and get back around to Stefan Hedick for the Lady Tigers basketball team when we return in January. So those are the three winter sports along with boys basketball, which we will talk tonight. Of course, Tiger Talk brought to us every week by Dakota Bank of Mobridge. And William Haynes, glad to have you here listening on Star 99 tonight. With that, let's get to our interview. And we're thrilled to be joined tonight for the first time during this season by your Mobridge Pollock boys head basketball coach, Thomas Knudsen. And real exciting time for Tigers basketball right now. Thanks for taking some time to join us tonight, Coach.
Yeah, no problem, and thank you for the call.
Is this the most exciting time of the year for you as a coach? You know, you go through all the off-season stuff, the preseason practice. It's all kind of on paper, but, you know, the beginning, the first couple games of the season, you finally get to see your players on the floor in a game. Is that what gets you fired up the most?
Yeah, I would say so, especially that 2 weeks of practice before your first and second games. And so we'll have the three games before we get into Christmas break. And then, you know, having that time and Christmas break to really get some drills going and find some things to really get better at. And then seeing those things on the court, that is the exciting part, because once we get to February, seems like we play, you know, last year it was like, I don't know, it was like 11 games in 22 days or something, you know? So like by that point, you got to have everything ready to rock and roll, and kids need to be hitting on all cylinders. So.
Yeah, no doubt. And something I really wanted to ask you about, I'm sure a lot of people are aware, your son Cale, a sophomore this year, played football in the fall, of course, on the hardwood this winter, but also your daughter Rue made the high school state meet in cross country as a seventh grader, which was awesome. We talked with Chris Freed a bunch about that during the fall season. Just how great is that for you, both as a father and as a coach? You're coaching your son in basketball at this high level, but also to see what Rue was able to do, beating, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th graders in cross country meets.
Yeah, it was a very fun year so far and hope next year is just as good or better. So thank you for the nice comments.
Oh, you bet. And great to see. Now, what number season is this for you coaching at Mobridge Pollock?
I believe it's 7.
Okay. And what would be maybe the biggest change in this program or even just that you've seen in the sport over that time?
You know, the first one is the amount of dedication. I guess I don't know about change, but, you know, the amount of dedication these high school kids have for so many different things, and they're busy year-round with everything. So if you have, like, you know, on our team, almost all of our guys are in football or basketball and then track and things like that. So they're just so busy, and that amount of dedication for each of those high school kids to not only do the athletics, but, you know, they're busy throughout the day with tests and classes and online classes. And we've got a couple of kids in one act play. And I mean, it's amazing to see how our kids in our community are so good at being excelling at so many different things. And they have the energy and they have the composure to keep it together. So I think over the last 7 years, I definitely have seen myself give more appreciation to everything they're doing, not just the one sport I coach. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's something, yeah, you're right. Everybody preaches that well-roundedness. Your assistant on your staff, Trey Frederick, how long has he been with you on the staff?
6 years, I believe, yep.
Okay, so for a while. And what do you like about coaching with him?
You know, he has a deep understanding of not just, you know, defense and offense, but he has a deep understanding of all the little things it takes to be considered a top basketball player. And, you know, if you ever come to one of our practices, you can hear him coaching constantly. And it's amazing to see how he can connect with certain players more than I can connect with certain players. So between the two of us, we really have the ability to motivate and inspire every single guy on our team. So.
Gotcha. And of course, digging into the game from last night, 56-43 over Aberdeen Roncalli. It was a 6-point game at the end of the first and the second quarter, kind of some runs both ways, but then a nice run by you guys late to break away. What were your kind of overarching thoughts on last night's game?
Overall, it's always exciting when you have that moment when it's either a quarter break or a timeout and you say something to the kids on the bench and you just know all the kids standing around believe in what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. And, you know, there was a certain point in the beginning of the fourth quarter where a lot of things didn't go our way multiple times, whether it was we were missing shots or we made a couple turnovers or, you know, some things were called. But, you know, when they're on the bench and I say something like, we are not losing this game, and you see those kids' their eyes and that fire in their eyes, and I knew we had it, you know. So there's those times when you have those special moments and you know that certain kids are going to make others around them better. So.
Yeah, and Shooter Frederick, he hit 3 triples early on, but then he picked up 3 fouls there early to go along with it that forced him out of the game, but then came back late, made a big jumper. He had 3 triples against Sisseton as well. I guess that's why they call him Shooter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's highly skilled, and, you know, we hope to continue his growth throughout the season here because, you know, he proves it day in and day out. We just have to keep working, and it sometimes comes down to just our passes, you know, like he's not the only guy, but anybody catching a good pass, it just makes your chances of making that shot so much better when, you know, you put that ball right on the chin and somebody can have a quick dip and throw it in the rim. So,
right. And I asked it kind of joking, but I'm also half serious too. I saw Shooter in football first and it was more curious then. Now it makes a little more sense seeing what he does on the basketball court. But the name Shooter, did anybody ask kind of how that came about for him?
No, I mean, I've never asked, but he has brothers and sisters with also creative names that are unique. So,
gotcha. Okay. And one of the other interesting moments, I was having a hard time figuring out what was going on. I know kind of some of the fans looked similar about some of the flopping calls, and Shooter was involved in some of that. Would be interested to hear from your perspective, and I know you went up at one point to ask the officials for clarification, but just kind of to explain to us kind of what was going on with that in the game last night.
Yeah, you know, every year there's things that the state emphasizes, and refs are just trying to carry out what the state wants them to start focusing on, and you'll see a lot of that early. But hopefully some of those calls fizzle out that are questionable. You know, there's the obvious flop call, should be called. I agree with that. But when it's questionable, I don't think we should be giving technicals for it, especially when there's contact and, you know, there's a little bit more immediate call. I think I'm not going to try to ever bash on a ref, but I think sometimes refs are calling things a little too quick. And I think hopefully in the future we kind of back down and maybe see the play and then make a decision on that. Whether it's a couple seconds late, it's better make the right call than just try to be forcing things. So.
Right. And we saw it in action the first time that I had seen it, at least. And the first one goes as a warning, and then the second time, or I guess in any time after that, you get the two free throws and the possession as well. Were both of them on Shooter, or were there multiple guys that were getting called for it?
See what happens is there's guidelines that there's like five things that they're trying to focus on. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we got the bad end on the flop. They got the first warning for the flop, and then
gotcha.
We got a warning for the flop, and then we got the technical for the flop. But there's also things in there. Players are supposed to be passing the ball to the nearest ref when a violation occurs. And you know, our opponent last night was definitely not doing that. And there was countless times where, you know, they're not getting the ball back to the ref like they're supposed to. And, you know, these are all things we practice. But, you know, sometimes things slip and they're the regulators of the game, and that's kind of how it goes. So we learn to live with it, and we always have the message to our players not to make excuses and learn from them and move on. So thank you.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I appreciate you giving us the insight on that so we know kind of what was going on there. Also in that game, Shane Henderson had his hands full. Ron Colley brought lots of bigs with them to the game. Not just 10 points for Henderson, but a great major defensive effort for him last night also.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, anytime you can have any player, not just Shane, but any player play consistent, dependable, vocal defense, it just makes everybody's job so much easier. And then on the same hand, he is improving his passing, as you saw last night, because he's seen the floor so much better in the last few months. Yep.
Yeah. And another player, Easton Eisman, he got our player of the game after the game against Ron Colley. Lots of hustle plays from him in the fourth quarter that stood out. And that's, of course, one of those things that's not always in the stat sheet. But in that fourth quarter, it was pretty visible to see. He was scratching and clawing for every loose ball, and it made a difference late.
Absolutely. And one thing that a lot of fans probably don't recognize because they're watching it, but when he made some of those nice plays at the end, especially that one where he went under the bucket and Shane found him and he did the reverse layup, you know, we had been practicing that the last few weeks, and we just said it in the timeout, and he is coachable, you know, so he is a very coachable player and is a good role model for his teammates. So,
yeah, and just a sophomore this year. Speaking of youngsters, freshman Kyson Goodshield, he spelled Frederick for a bit there in the first half, made a couple threes of his own. Goodshield, an exciting young player as a freshman.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the JV game, he had a couple deep threes, and I kind of got mad at his teammates and at halftime said, why in the heck are you not getting Kyson open? Why are you not setting him triple screens? He just made a couple nice three-pointers. So, I mean, you know, the younger guys are learning, too, that, you know, it's not always about the plays you're running. It's about how you run them, and it's learning as the game goes and making adjustments on the floor as players and being leaders out there. So we're getting it.
And last night, just game two of the season, did you view last night as somewhat of a measuring stick game, just with them being one of the better opponents that you'll see during this part of the schedule, you know, one of the better teams, bigger teams in single A?
Yeah, I guess we just take it one game at a time, and I actually just kind of stay out of the bound, and I don't look at standings and seed points, and to me, the Class B and Class A doesn't even really matter, even though there are levels of basketball. You know, like we know that there are definitely highs and lows to Class B and Class A, and even in Double A, there's better ones. But I think with a measuring stick, I think our first one will definitely be going to Del Rapids. You know, not saying anything about Lakota Tech or Aberdeen-Roncalli. Or we have Timberlake this weekend, but making that long road trip and playing Del Rapids in their home gym, that'll be our really big first measuring stick. Yep.
Okay. And talking about the opener to this year, this past Saturday, it was 60-31 on top of Sisseton. It was just a 5-point game after the first quarter, but quite the run, combined 35-3, a run in the second and third quarters. What does it take to pull off a run at that level?
It takes defense. You know, I think we just gave them 3 points in the middle two quarters, and kids were not just guarding the ball really effectively, but they were getting in passing lanes, and that defense ended up leading us to so many easier buckets and layups and passing so much easier in transition when you get a little head start. So that matters, just that defense. But also, when you keep things simple and you can see kids not thinking too much on the offensive end, and they're making split-second reactions and the ball is moving quick, you know, really quickly from left to the right side, those were all things that are five stars in our, you know, highlight film. So,
And one of the biggest things, at least to me, that jumped off during that game against Sisseton was just the size advantage that Shane Henderson was enjoying at that one. And 6'6", as you know, it doesn't grow on trees, and it gives you a decided advantage over more than a few teams you'll face. Not every team has the 6'7s that Aberdeen-Roncalli has when you're going up against some of the schools that don't have the height. Shane Henderson, you know, 17 points, 9 boards, and that one had a few blocks as well. And it was all throughout the game. I think everyone knew in the building Henderson was going to get the ball, but no one could stop him.
Yeah, and he knew it. He came to the timeout and he said, "I'm dunking it." He said, you know, he kind of demanded we drop the play, and we gave it to him, and he definitely went for it, but got fouled on the way up and ended up not getting the dunk down. But it's, I love the determination and the aspect of wanting to get up and throw a dunk down is great to have at this point of the season, that instinctual let's put them away kind of thing. So,
hey, and we got close a couple of times last night too with those alley-oops. And is that something that conversations had to try and get one of those to get things rolling?
No, but when the opportunity is there, he always calls backboard, and then whoever's got the ball throws it off the backboard. So, you know, over the years, he's completed it over a handful of times, and Not always in games, but totally in open gyms and practice. So,
oh, I bet. I could not imagine seeing that. Next game against Timberlake, as you said, on Saturday in the Rotary Classic. You beat them by 24 last year, but what kind of game do you expect there from the Panthers?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to just wait and see. You know, it's I could talk a little bit. We played them in a referee jamboree at the early December this year, and you know, it's just nothing's the same, and the second time you play somebody in a different location, and you know, it's, I guess I wouldn't make predictions, and I do know they're going to bring in their best game, and we need to be prepared just as much as they do, but maybe have a few tricks up our sleeve as well. So
yeah, and you mentioned to me before we got rolling the practice over at ShareHow, that's where the game will be on Saturday. nice to kind of get in there. It's a kind of an historic venue and just kind of a different look for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Different look. The feeling in that gym needs to be realized by our players and our community. We need to bring that back because we haven't been back there since around 2009, right in that area. But I do know that one of my goals by getting down there and playing the game is so hopefully we can get a few more of those old fans that used to come to Sherhow that aren't coming to games right now to get them to come to our high school gym. You know, the people that were diehards 10 years ago, they've kind of skipped some games. And, you know, I've seen about 5 or 6 different people last night at our game. So hopefully we keep getting a few more old faces in the gym and get some more fans and fill our gym up in the high school, just like I know it's going to be full on Saturday. So
yeah, that'll be really fun to see. And then to finish out the calendar year, Lakota Tech comes in on the 30th, another home game there. What's the benefit of getting your first 4 games at home under your belt early?
I guess.
Or is there a benefit, do you think? Just to maybe the comfort factor, anything there?
I don't know, because you always have that the next year we're on the road, you know, but
yeah,
it is a every other year type of thing where you get to stay home and get a little bit more comfort and not only just learn from how to win at home, which hopefully we can keep doing, but it's knowing that next year early in the season we'll have to be road warriors and, you know, wear that whole persona on our face. And I was really happy in the Sisseton game that, you know, it's home, but I was really happy in the Sisseton game that we came out at after halftime. And the goal was, even though we had a nice lead, is to not have a different face on, you know, still have your game face and still be focused. And the players sure proved that in the first 2, 3, 4 minutes of the second half of the Sisseton game. They kept their game faces on and they didn't start having too much fun, even though it is fun when you start going on runs and things like that. But, you know, you just to get players to lock in, and when you remind them and they nod their head, that is the goal, is to not break your focus. And because when one player breaks that focus, you know, then the next guy's breaking his focus, and then pretty soon you're letting teams back in the door, and we need to get away from that. We've struggled with that at times in the last few years. So definitely a goal of ours is to get up by halftime and put people away in the third quarter. So
there you go. And great stuff tonight. Thanks for doing this, Coach. It's great to hear from you and get your perspective on this team. And we'll see you Saturday in Sherhow.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good rest of your week.
Really glad we could talk with Coach Knutson tonight. Really some really great stuff on Mobridge Pollock boys basketball. Always our favorite moments here on Tiger Talk when we can get a little bit of what's going on in the huddle during timeouts, what's being said on the bench before the game. You know, are we gonna go for the dunk here, or you know, whatever the sport is? That's always the golden moments when we talk to these coaches, and also to hear maybe some more games at Sherhow and the reasoning behind that. That was great to learn about. And also, too, I know I was confused. I didn't really find out the exact details until after the game about the flopping rule and even about giving the ball back to the official. So we got that straight from the source. That's why we do it. And big thanks to Coach Knutson for being a part of it tonight. Coming up on the schedule for Mobridge Pollock, Saturday, another wrestling invite for the boys at Mount Vernon Plankinton. The girls compete next in January. The Rotary Classic coming up on the basketball side at the Sherhow Arena this Saturday. Boys take on Timberlake at 6. The girls play Harriet Selby at 8. We'll have full coverage of that doubleheader straight through starting at 5:45 Central Time right here on 99.5 FM on Saturday night. And then a basketball doubleheader at home at the high school gymnasium in Mobridge against Lakota Tech on December 30th. We'll begin our coverage there at 3 o'clock on that Saturday afternoon. So Yeah, really just the wrestling and the Rotary Classic on Saturday, and then they're off for over a week over that Christmas holiday break. Remember, no show next Wednesday for Christmas Day, nor the following week on New Year's Day, but we'll be back January 8th to continue our coverage of this winter sports season. A big thank you as well to Dakota Bank of Mobridge for sponsoring this program, and also to you, the listener, for tuning in tonight. William Haynes saying so long, and catch us doing some more basketball later on this week. Until next time, you're listening to Star 99.